Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned about where we are in our nation. As a pastor, theologian, preacher, one that studies the Bible, one that understands history, I believe that we're in the last of the last days. You've heard me say this before. It's not a doom and gloom thought when I say that, because the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, sudden seizure, the snatching away of the bride of Christ, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when much of what is found in the tribulation is unfurled and unfolded. Much of what we're seeing today, which is, I believe, is simply the stage being set. It is a dress rehearsal of the day that the Antichrist will step on the scene. He will be the ultimate dictator that is ruling and reigning in the world, totally controlled by Satan and the demonic powers that will control that dictator leadership person. It's called the Antichrist, the lawless one, the man of sin. But I'm concerned when we see this taking place so rapidly across our nation. Someone recently said, you know, I knew that these things would ultimately come about, but I didn't have any idea that they would happen so fast and all coming about simultaneously. Ladies and gentlemen, we have upheavals, lawlessness in cities across America today, and yet nothing being done. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast, but we're talking about and want to look at with a overview, with a broad brush overview, of what America would look like as a socialist, Marxist, BLM, democratically run nation if Joe Biden is elected. And if this doesn't scare your socks off, nothing will. But I am here to tell you, and we're talking about before the break, that there would be a borderless America, that the wall that President Trump is building today would not only come down, but there'd be no walls at all. Secondly, ladies and gentlemen, the Green New Deal of AOC. Joe Biden says that he's on board with the Green New Deal. Perhaps you ask the question, what is the Green New Deal? It simply would eliminate everything that's called oil or gas, as AOC unveiled it several months back. It would eliminate airplanes. It would eliminate tall buildings built out of glass and metal. It would eliminate anything that would be so-called detrimental to the ozone layer and to our society in general, from the standpoint of the globalists that believe that we need to worship Mother Earth and we shouldn't do anything that would be harmful for Mother Earth. I don't know what AOC would do, and Nancy Pelosi and others that zigzag across America every day with an airplane. I don't know what they would do for travel, but it would literally, ladies and gentlemen, the Green New Deal that Joe Biden has said that he would embrace if elected as president. And of course, we all understand that he's saying that to garner a favor and to get voters to commit to vote for him as the next president. But he says he would stand behind AOC's Green New Deal. If we have that Green New Deal, ladies and gentlemen, it'll throw us back to the horse and buggy days, basically, because there would be no flying of an airplane. There'd be no building of gigantic buildings. There'd be no combustion engine because oil and gas would be restricted. We'd have only windmills, ladies and gentlemen, spread across America. The windmills that would supposedly take care of our electrical needs. There would be the repeal, ladies and gentlemen. Here's one of the things that is the essence of a democratic Marxist BLM governance of America, president of America. It would be the repeal of President Donald J. Trump's executive order. May of 2017, some of you might recall it, most do not. May of 2017, President Donald J. Trump signed an executive order basically nullifying the Lyndon Baines Johnson IRS amendment that allowed the federal government to tell churches and pastors that they could not talk about political issues, that a church could not identify a candidate. A church would have to just simply pretend that an election cycle was not even in place or taking place. Multitudes of churches, if not all of the churches across America, since the Johnson Amendment of 1954, churches were threatened that if you talk about politics from the pulpit, that they will pull your right to be a nonprofit organization or a church in America. President Donald J. Trump signed that executive order. Now listen, I was displeased because in January of 2017, House Bill 27, it was a bill that would by law eliminate the Lyndon Baines Johnson amendment to the IRS regulations that petrified and frightened and caused churches and pastors to hide in the closet about political things for many, many years. I believe that bill should have passed, but rather than passing the bill, because there were some roadblocks that the Republicans faced, the Republicans just backpedaled, pulled it off the agenda, and President Trump signed an executive order. An executive order is wonderful. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, with an executive order, all executive orders by one president can be nullified and repealed by another president. And much that we have today in the freedom that we have in America, much that we have today in the growth and development under the leadership of President Trump has been as a result of executive orders, because the possibility and the practicality of passing legislation that would have done the same thing was near zero. So I'm thankful that it was done. But under a Joe Biden presidency, that executive order would be repealed, and every church would be under the thumb of a socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic dictator in the White House that would squelch and silence the voice of pastors in churches when it would come to any political agenda, any political leadership role that's under evaluation for election. Ladies and gentlemen, simply put, the churches would be in a quagmire if President Donald J. Trump is not reelected. I don't know how I can say that with any greater somber, serious indication than I'm saying it. Our freedom of speech today, our religious liberties, would literally be vilified, nullified, eviscerated, as though our Bill of Rights does not exist. And not only we would be living in a borderless America and a Green New Deal society and the repeal of President Trump's executive order protecting churches from the IRS restrictions, we would see the destruction of our economy. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, before the COVID-19 pandemic that now has been weaponized, that shut down America, that closed down the economy, that destroyed and eviscerated the income of many Americans, that would absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, be, well, what we're seeing today would look like a picnic for a child. It would look like a walk in the park. We would see what I believe, if Joe Biden is elected, we would see a total depression for the United States of America. You say, that's a pretty harsh statement. No, it's coming from the well of reality. If we put Joe Biden in office, ladies and gentlemen, we will have a total depression. We would see, ladies and gentlemen, inflation skyrocket. We would see taxes skyrocket. We would see the wage for an individual to work on, to live on, would be absolutely minusculized in comparison to the cost of living. An absolute destruction of our economy would take place. Ladies and gentlemen, social medicine would come into play. Now listen, a lot of people that say, well, I believe that everybody ought to have medical coverage. There's a vast difference in saying, ladies and gentlemen, that everybody is covered. Vast difference in saying everybody has coverage and everybody receiving care. There's a vast difference. Go to Canada. Go to any place where there's social medicine. And yes, everybody's covered. Even in Canada today, if you need a heart transplant or lung transplant or major medical care, you may be waiting 6 months, 12 months, 24 months. And in most cases, the patient dies for lack of care, waiting in line for the care that they supposedly have available to them. Social medicine does not guarantee everyone will receive medical care. And that's the misnomer that Nancy Pelosi and AOC and Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, and Bernie Sanders, that's the thing that they're not telling America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today socialism or freedom. We have less than 100 days to make that choice. We have less than 100 days to decide or whether we want a socialist nation under the leadership of Joe Biden, or if we want a continuation of freedom in America under the leadership of Donald J. Trump. That's our choice. That's the freedom that we have. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. What are your thoughts? What are your opinions? Do you agree or do you disagree? What do you see as on the horizon if we continue on the track that we're going today? What do you see as the end result of the direction that America is going in as we watch it today? Ladies and gentlemen, under a Joe Biden leadership, being a socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrat in his leadership role, there would be the ban on all oil and gas and only windmill power. There would be the extreme increase in utilities and the taxes, extremely high in its increase. Black Lives Matter will be co-regent with Joe Biden. Co-regent with Joe Biden, as I put it. Black Lives Matter, ladies and gentlemen, is not about black lives. Let me repeat that. Black Lives Matter is not about black lives whatsoever. It is about a Marxist agenda in controlling a nation. When you go by the way, go to the Black Lives Matter website, read down it, it all looks kind of generic. Click on the button donate. Doesn't mean you have to. Click on the button donate, and then look at the places your money goes if you donate to them. Black Lives Matter is a hand-in-hand co-partner with the Communist Party USA and all of those other organizations that are attributed to and birthed out of the Communist Party USA. And the sad fact is, ladies and gentlemen, that since about March of this year, Black Lives Matter has garnered about $450 million into their coffers, with over $150 million of that donated into their coffers by none other than George Soros. Keep in mind, George Soros is one of the key people that's been in this in the background for several years now, wanting to destroy, undermine, and tear down the constitutional republic called United States of America. Black Lives Matter would be co-regent with Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, and others that would be in the leadership role. And ladies and gentlemen, another aspect of a Joe Biden presidency would be the unleashing, hear me, the unleashing of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda that now has permeated America. Supreme Court ruled that it is legal to have a sodomite marriage. Supreme Court has ruled several times in relationship to the LGBTQ agenda and the things that it is doing as being legal and all right. Here's an article that says Hallmark, that's the Hallmark movies, the Hallmark cards. Hallmark commits to LGBTQ storylines, caves to the left-wing pressure. Diversity and inclusion is a top priority for us as we look forward to making some exciting programming announcements in the coming months, including announcement about projects featuring LGBTQ storylines, characters, and actors, a Hallmark spokesman revealed to People after receiving online complaints about the lack of obvious LGBTQ content in its 2020 lineup of holiday movies. Quote now from Hallmark, "We are committed to creating a Hallmark experience where everyone feels welcome," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being inundated now by the sodomite move, and it was through Nancy Pelosi and House Bill 5 that was passed back in January of this year by 240 votes in the socialist, Marxist, Democratic leadership in the House. House Bill 5 literally, simplistically put for our understanding, would eviscerate anything that's called biblical Christianity and constitutionality of our liberties of freedom of worship and freedom of religion, would absolutely eviscerate it. House Bill 5, ladies and gentlemen, if you've not read it, it was passed by the House by 240 vote. It is now Senate Bill 47, I believe it is, or maybe 48, out in the Senate. It's not getting any traction in the Senate, though it's got, 46, 47 senators that signed on to it. But it doesn't have enough votes to pass. President Trump's already said if it passes during his presidency, he will veto the bill. But under House Bill 5, a church will not be able to say anything publicly about the sodomite lifestyle. This type of broadcast will be illegal if House Bill 5 is ever passed. It makes it illegal for a church or a Christian ministry to print or to publicize or to in any way spread across the nation in any type of production that says anything negative about the sodomite lifestyle. It would enforce the sodomite lifestyle to be approved, embraced, and agreed upon by everything that's called religion and Christianity. In fact, Nancy Pelosi, in the her leadership role when the bill was passed, said that, in fact, the House Bill 5, called the Equality Act, would trump, T-R-U-M-P, anything that's called religious liberties and religious freedoms. That's where we're headed, ladies and gentlemen. And Pandora's box would be wide open. House Bill 5 would automatically pass if Joe Biden is elected president. House Bill 5 would become the law of the land. They will absolutely crush, would eviscerate, destroy the religious liberties that we now enjoy as Christians and as churches across America today. Yes, churches and Christian ministries would be required to approve, to embrace, and to fully accept the sodomite lifestyle. There'll be no Second Amendment under a Biden administration. Not only our religious liberties, but our right to keep and bear arms and to defend ourselves and our families would absolutely be something of the past that would absolutely no longer exist if Joe Biden is elected as president of the United States of America. I hope you're hearing me today. Hope you understand the danger that we're faced with in the next 100 days. As we watch America being burned and destroyed, as we watch the scene that's unfurling across America, with city after city after city, night after night after night, week in and week out, for the past 8 or 10 weeks, we watch the Black Lives Matter thugs and the Antifa thugs destroying our cities, and yet we've not seen any willingness on the part of the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats, the Democratic mayors and the Democratic governors. We watched as in silence they refused to do anything about it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And ladies and gentlemen, another thing, if Biden is elected president, abortion will not only be legal, but it will be required in every state across America. Any state that has anything that makes abortion illegal today or requiring any precursor approvals for an abortion, all of that will be taken away. No safety net whatsoever. Abortion would be the push for the day, as I would call it, under a Biden role as president. Religion and churches and ministers will be, for the most part, shut down. Let's take a few minutes and talk about that. We're watching today for the first time, hear me, for the first time in the history of the United States of America, for the first time in 244 years as a free nation, we watch for the first time where the government can just shut a church down by fiat, just simply give the order, and churches must shut down. Cannot open the doors, cannot have preaching. I don't know of anything, ladies and gentlemen, that's any more frightening to me than to realize that if Joe Biden is elected president, that the religious liberties and the freedom that we have today as Christians would absolutely not only dissipate, but disappear. Here's an article by Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. Millions of Christians and people of faith across the country are being bullied by anti-faith governors who won't, without notice or due process, have restricted or even banned religious worship, even in private homes. This article goes on to say, read on to learn more about a few of the most egregious restrictions on pastors and churches that we've ever seen in the United States of America, and soon some will reach the Supreme Court. Liberty Counsel now has federal lawsuits filed against at least 5 tyrannical governors who apparently don't believe the First Amendment rights to religious liberty. Maine, Virginia, Kentucky, Illinois, and California. The actions of these governors reflect a troubling trend of elected leaders ignoring the U.S. Constitution and defying the rights of Christians and all people of faith. But just as politicians are rolling over, we the people are beginning to push back against the illegal and unconstitutional orders of the tyrannical government and governors that are in office today, especially in the blue states. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article about John MacArthur. John MacArthur is an internationally known pastor, preacher, teacher. He and I have some differences theologically, but that's all right. I'm thankful to see he has finally decided to take a stand. His church is in California. John MacArthur has a church in California. He pastored there for some, has been pastoring there for some 50-some-odd years. Here's the article. John MacArthur to defy church ban in California. Authorities threaten, that's California authorities, authorities threaten to cut off the power to the church. Pastor John MacArthur and the elders of Grace Community Church say they plan on defying Governor Gavin Newsom's order banning indoor worship, and their prayer is that other congregations across America will join in their cause. Christ, not Caesar, is the head of the church, the pastor and the elders declared in a lengthy statement posted on the church's website. We, the pastors and the elders of Grace Community Church, respectfully inform our civic leaders that they have exceeded their legitimate jurisdiction, and faithfulness to Christ prohibits us from observing the restrictions they want to impose on our corporate worship services. MacArthur says in my latest book, Cultural Jihad, I warned that leftist government leaders are determined to shut down Christian churches all across America. You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? They want to silence Christian leaders and marginalize Christian involvement in the election process. He sees the handwriting on the wall. He sees what's happening. It's trying to squelch the voice of the Christians in the pulpits and the churches in America before the election. All of this will let up, I'm telling you, after November the 3rd. Further, this article says, on July the 13th, Newsom announced, that's Governor Newsom, announced new restrictions requiring churches in a number of counties to cease holding indoor services. He had previously ordered all churches to stop singing hymnals and worship songs. We cannot and will not acquiesce to a government-imposed moratorium on our weekly congregational worship or other regular corporate gatherings in our churches, MacArthur and the elders wrote. Compliance would be disobedience to our Lord's clear commands. It is unclear what will happen when the church resumes services. However, the executive director of Grace to You wrote on Twitter that, quote, the local authorities say their plan is to shut off the power to our church. Grace Community Church is not making constitutional arguments. They're making a biblical argument. God has not granted civic leaders authority over the doctrine, the practice, and the polity of the church. Government officials have no right to interfere in ecclesiastical matters in a way that undermines or disregards the God-given authority of pastors and elders in the local church, they wrote. Therefore, this is MacArthur's letter, MacArthur's statement from Grace to You Church. Therefore, when any governmental official issues orders regulating worship, such as bans on singing, caps on attendance, or prohibiting against gathering and services, he steps aside the legitimate bounds of his God-ordained authority as a civic official and arrogates to himself authority that God expressly grants only to the Lord Jesus Christ as sovereign over his kingdom, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the pastor and the elders of Grace Community Church. Quote, major public events that were planned for 2021 are already being canceled, signaling that officials are preparing to keep restrictions in place into next year and beyond, John MacArthur wrote. That forces churches to choose between the clear command of our Lord Jesus Christ and the government officials. Therefore, following the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we gladly choose to obey him and him only. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I could have stated it any more succinctly or any more clearly than that. And here's another article by Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. It sheds a little more light on what we're faced with. Lotus, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the coming together of the BLM travesty in America, the Antifa thuggery in the streets. We're watching them ravage our cities across America. We're watching through the pretense of COVID-19, the usurping of authority over the churches, and we're watching as a result of it some pastors finally waking up and saying, no, not on my watch, it's not going to be done. Here's an article that says, churches, churchgoers lose jobs because they attend a certain church. Pastors are arrested. Churches are threatened to be bulldozed. Singing in churches prohibited. And home churches are now banned. That's true, ladies and gentlemen. In California, in I believe it's 32 counties, which make up about 80% of the churches, they ban not only churches being open, but even worship in the homes is now banned by Gavin Newsom in California. The article goes on to say, only government-authorized churches are allowed to open. In-home Bible studies and fellowships are banned. Pastors are arrested for preaching. Churchgoers lose their job for attending a church service. Police block the entrance of some church buildings. Churches approved to meet must apply and display a badge on their buildings, giving them authority. Churches are threatened to be bulldozed for having more than 10 people in attendance. You would probably think that this is discussing some communist militant Islamic or anti-God country. While all of these can be done, can and do happen in everyday prescribed Christians and religious minorities around the world, the things I described above, Matt Staver saying, these things are taking place right now in one or more cases in states in America. Liberty Council now has cases in Maine, where churches must apply to get state approval and permission to operate. In Virginia, where a pastor was arrested for having six people in more than a 293-seat auditorium. In Kentucky, where 14 people were put on mandatory 14-day quarantine. In Illinois, where the state and the government targeted the Romanian immigrant church. In California, where all religious singing and chanting is banned in 32 counties. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact that we must be aware that in less than 100 days, you and I, Americans, will make the decision of whether or not we live in a free United States of America or if we will be living in a socialist, dictator, Marxist form of government. I pray that you'll plan now and plan to vote. Tell everybody to vote. Don't be bashful. Tell them to vote to reelect President Donald J. Trump. It's imperative if we continue to have religious liberties in America that we vote and that we vote aright. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.